Well, good morning. Welcome to Hope Church. My name is Ross. I serve as senior pastor here. Those of you online or even throughout the building today, we're super excited that you're here to celebrate Jesus, our risen Savior, for He is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Wherever you're joining, I'm super excited today. If you're new, if it's your first time, if you're returning, if you're a weekly member here, wherever you're at today after the service, I'd love to get to know you, say hello, and meet you. But this morning on Easter Sunday, we're actually finishing a series called Is Jesus My? And throughout the series, what we found in the book of John are these I am statements from Jesus, where he's proclaiming the reality of who he is. And it's not just physical characteristics. He's using these metaphors, these realities to understand the saving relationship that we can have in him. And in these I am statements, he's changing our perspective. He's helping us see him. And so this Easter morning, this Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the greatest day in history, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. This is actually the fifth I am statement in the sequence, but we saved it for this morning as we celebrate the reality of his resurrection and life, which gives us new life in him. That as we look to Easter and celebrate the death of death, that he's conquered sin on our behalf. It had to be paid for and he bore it for us. He'd bear the cross, substitute for us, that we may have life in him if we believe. So I want to share with you the direction of where we're going, because what we'll find this morning is that the resurrection of Jesus is not only a reality of eternity to come, but also a reality that impacts our lives today. And as we walk through the scripture and see this moment, I'm praying that you find that. Let's open in a word of prayer before we continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus, to bear a cross on our behalf, to put to death death and conquer sin, so we may have new life in you. God, would you be with us, whatever walk of life we've walked into this space in? We feel far from you, we feel close. We don't know you, we know you well. Wherever we are, God, you've brought us here on purpose. So I pray that we would hear from you. We may not know what that looks like, but God, I pray that you would make it so real to us today, that through your word and your powerful presence among us, that you are alive, you're speaking to us. God, help us in our understanding. Help us grow in belief. Help us trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in John 11. You can grab a Bible under your seat or begin to get there as you do. Let me catch you up on this story that we're about to enter into. See, Jesus is close with this family. If you've been around church, if you've read the Bible a bit, it's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And scripture's clear that Jesus loves this family. They love him too. There's devotion in this family. There's clear reverence in this family. They see Jesus for who he is. And Jesus' disciples on this journey, in this time frame, have been doing ministry around Jerusalem, but they were plotting, looking to kill him. But his time was not yet to die. And so they go out to the countryside and continue ministry among people. That's Jesus and his disciples. So during this time, Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, while they're out in the countryside, he gets bad sick. And I mean sick, sick. And we all know in this season of life that we're in, sickness, right? You maybe just got through a season where you've been sick. It's come and gone in your family. For some reason, the sickness going around today hits one person for like 2 weeks and then the next person for 2 weeks. So you feel like it's been a month, a year since everyone's been healthy, right? But we ask that question too. Hey, maybe a friend cancels plans. I'm sorry, I can't make it. I'm sick. And so we say, hey, are you sick, sick? You know, we're trying to gauge that level of risk we're willing to take. We're wondering, are you sick, sick? Can we still hang out maybe? I'm willing to take the risk. Well, Lazarus here, in no good comparison, he's sick, sick, sick. Lazarus is sick and approaching death. And so Mary and Martha send a runner to Jesus. He's in the countryside. They sent a runner out. Hey, Lazarus is sick. Can you come back and help? The word actually says in John 11, says, Lord, your loved one is sick. So Jesus gets this message. And he says in John 11, 4, the sickness will not end in death, for it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And now already we enter into a category of reality where sickness leads to God's glory. And how hard that is to understand. How hard that is to maybe even read for some of you today. But it would be true as we continue. So instead of rushing back, we discover in John 11, 6, the intentions of Jesus, what his plan is. John 11, 6, it says, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. And we read later that Jesus shares Lazarus is dead. He had said this moment with his disciples, he's fallen asleep. They're like, well, he should just rest for a little bit. Jesus is like, no, you don't get it. He's dead. Okay. And we need to go and wake him back up. And now we're in our moment of the passage this morning in John 11, 17. You can read along with me in a Bible. It'll be on the screen. You can grab out your phone, whatever you'd like to do. I want you to see this, for it's the word of God, not just something I'm making up. And so follow along with me. I encourage you to do so. In John 11, 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Some context and spacing here. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. So Lazarus dead 4 days. They're comforting Martha and Mary, friends of them. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Now, we shouldn't be too shocked at Mary's response, okay? It was Jewish custom and tradition that when someone in your family passed away, you would sit and mourn in the household for 30 days. But uniquely enough, Martha, who's typically throughout scripture this rule follower, okay, she throws out the rules. I ain't following the rules today. I've got something to talk to Jesus about, and we see that in the next passage in this statement. She says in John 11, 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus as she met him running out, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If we think of the context, she sent a runner. Jesus heard the message and he waited. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But in verse 22, what does she say? But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. If you'd like to take a few notes with us today, maybe you brought a notebook, you pulled a note sheet, you're just jotting on your phone, wherever you're at, here's where I want us to meet our first point, and it's this, the faith of Martha. At this point, Martha and Mary had sent word to Jesus, and he didn't show up. He didn't come quickly. So Martha, like any of us would point to the past. Jesus, if you had been here, Jesus, this wouldn't have happened. Now, there's nothing wrong with pointing to the past. Throughout scripture, we're commanded to do so, to see the faithfulness and goodness of God and gain hope and further trust and belief, and in our faith, trust him for the future. Nothing wrong with looking to the past. It's rather natural for Martha to do this, but what we see, what we find in Martha's intense disappointment, it actually reveals her deepest of confidence in Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Martha had faith in Jesus. Jesus, where were you? But I know you're here now, and you can do anything. If we take a moment to pause, I feel like many of us in the room today may have used the same words as Martha when we talk with God. We look to a past moment or situation and we say, where were you then? God, I called for you. Where were you? Where were you then? Maybe a situation, you fill in the blank. Jesus, where were you when I was blank? Oftentimes we think, did our message get received? We see that in the faith of Mary, the confidence that it was, he's here, but yet the confidence in who he is, the truth of Jesus. I think of our kids. We have a home with a few small kids. Okay, so my four-year-old, I'll sometimes say, hey, could you go tell mom, who is my wife, okay? Could you go tell her this message, right? And I'm sitting there and thinking, but I'm starting to wonder. Minutes go by. This message I wanted her to respond to, and I would be talking to her soon. So then I go off to find that my daughter's off playing. The message wasn't received. That's not the truth about God, though. When we reach out, he hears. But his timing's often different. If we reflect on even the words of Jesus, his timing was through this sickness to bring glory to God, and we see that further in this passage. The faith of Martha should inspire our faith today, that as she knew that he could, although he didn't arrive in her timing, she trusted that in him anything could be, because he's Jesus, close friend, Savior, King, Messiah. That's him. Even in the midst of this questioning, we see in our passage, Jesus responds in confidence. He says this in John 11:23. Jesus said to her, if your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And that's a proper response, because Martha at this moment knows her Old Testament scriptures. She understands God's promise of the resurrection to come one day. But Jesus had something far greater to share with her in this statement to follow. And we find in verse 25, our statement today, Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And so not only can we reflect on her faithfulness, her faith, Martha's faith in Jesus today, point number two, we can look at the truth of who Jesus is. So far, Martha knows the physical life in which we die. She knows of the resurrection, which is to come someday. Yet Jesus introduces the life in which he's come to bring today. In him, the resurrection of Jesus is not just a reality for eternity to come, but an ever-present reality, a life-changing one that we can embrace today and live in today. By the power of the cross, by a risen Savior King, that the world thought was defeated would rise again, would rise again. And that's the truth of Jesus, is that his resurrection in life given for us. He's not an alternative option. He is the resurrection. He's not a way to life. He is the life. It's all in him. And he's clarifying with Martha, making it very clear, that I am the one you're looking to. I am the one you're looking for. I am the life that you are after. I am the resurrection. That is, it's me. For us to have life, it's all in him. And that's why we celebrate a day like today, sitting before a cross, reflecting on a life that was lived perfectly, and yet an innocent man killed on a cross to bear the weight and wrath of our rebellious sin. But that we may believe. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus gives us this resurrection life if we believe. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. We face a physical death. We know that. We recognize that quickly in this life. We will physically, our physical bodies here on earth will pass away. But in Christ, death has been defeated for eternity, and all the more even today, the death of sin, the death by sin, that sin has been conquered, that he's paid our debt between God and us. He took it on so you may have life if you believe. Later in the story where Jesus, he raises Lazarus from the dead, he prays this beautiful prayer before God the Father, and then says, is Lazarus come out? And Lazarus comes out from the grave, is alive. And Jesus said to him, take off these grave clothes and let him go. Jesus brings Lazarus who was dead now to life. A miracle that is, but what we find is that in Lazarus, who was dead and now alive, what we've learned is that Jesus has the power over death, has authority over life, that he is the resurrection and the life, standing before them as witness before us. He is what we're looking for. And you might be thinking through this section of scripture. We see this family lose a brother and Jesus brings him back to life. And you might be asking the great question, okay, Ross, great. How do we know this isn't just a one-off? How do we know Jesus didn't just have this special power then and it was just a one-off circumstance? There was anything else to follow. It's just a one-off. Well, I'm glad that you're asking that question this morning, because that's why we're here today, to celebrate that this isn't just a one-off, that Jesus had this power then, but yet by his example, he would rise again. He would show us in his own display through the cross in an empty grave that he is risen, that he has power over death. He has resurrection power to bring life, that he has conquered sin for those who would believe may have new life in him. He would bear a cross. He would take on the grave and yet rise again. He's no longer on the cross. The grave is empty. He's alive. It's not just a one-off. It's who he is. But the question we wrestle with so often, maybe the trap we fall into so quickly, is can we gain this life on our own? This life in which Jesus is here to offer, can't we just get it on our own? Can't we just do this on our own? Can't we just say sorry and figure it out on our own? Can't we be good enough? Can't we try hard enough? Can't we just do the right things and it'll all add up? And we're met with the grave reality. The answer is no. We can't gain this resurrection and life that Jesus offers on our own, because we are sinful, rebellious against God. And the penalty for rebellion against the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is death. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it for ourselves. As Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all turned away. We've all followed our own path. We've rebelled against God. We've rejected him. Sin is the act of rebellion against God, not living in reference to him. We are rejecting him, but yet, in that rejection, the punishment must be death. First half of Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Our rebellious sin results in our death, not mere physical death, which we all know is coming, but spiritual death. It results in separation from God, results in our death. And that's at the point where Jesus steps in and he takes his life and substitute for your death, and by the cross, through the grave, gives us new life. As Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in rebellion, while we were still on our own path, while we were rejecting God, Christ would come in and die for us. He would be a sacrificial lamb, one who perfect without blemish, that can be enough, is enough to pay the penalty, to pay for the death that we so deserve. And if we just back up in the few passages we just read, we are met with this gracious reality from God. If we look again at Romans 3:23, just another verse later, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ on this very cross, on the cross that he bore, on the cross that he died, and the grave that he raised. His sacrifice for us. In Romans 6:23, if we read just a little further, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus came bearing life. He is the resurrection and life, that if we believe, we may live, not only for eternity to come, but be changed powerfully today, to be made new in his likeness, to be renewed in our minds, to be transformed into his image. And as Paul even mentions in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here because of him, because of his resurrecting power, because of his life for you, given to you. Before we close our time in God's word, we've got to stop and get to the last piece of our passage that we haven't touched yet. And all this questioning and response from Martha to Jesus, he then says this in John 11:26 to her, do you believe this? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? If you believe in me, you'll have life. And this is a great question for Martha. I mean, easily prompted by Jesus after this whole scenario and conversation. And if we read further, we know Martha's answer in the following verse here in John 11:27. She says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. We know her answer, but that can't be your answer. She can't answer for you. It's only for you to answer for yourself. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life? That if you believe, he came to conquer sin and death on your behalf. If you believe, he gives you the saving relationship to be reunited with God. Do you believe this? Do you believe? Through our series, Is Jesus My?, we've been prompting with this question that you are to ask yourself through these I am statements. And for this one this morning, when we encounter the understanding of the saving relationship Jesus has come to give us with God, the question for you remains similar. Is Jesus my Savior? Is he the one in which you trust and believe, which you repent and turn to him? Is he the one in which you place your faith? Some of you may not be a church person, you would call yourself, but Easter's not your first rodeo. Like, you've been around Easter, maybe been coming here and there, and you're just checking in. You want to be sure that you feel this is the time. You want to be sure to be here, and that's great. I'm so glad that you're here. But through your time, you've come here, and you've noticed that you grow to know a lot about Jesus, but you've never considered to actually believe him with your life, to trust in him with your life. If that's you today, you can go from knowing him and knowing about him to truly trusting him and believing in him for everything, for your life. Maybe others of you, you feel church is just not your thing. You're unsure about God, but your family member was really excited, so you're here. You want to be sure to honor and love them, so you're here. But right now, even in this moment, as we walk through the passage, you're hearing this maybe for the first time, the fifth time. Maybe you know some, and you're just now recognizing a bit more. You feel this like mysterious draw towards God. You're like, something just, I feel like I should consider deeper. I'm feeling I just need to know more or think deeper about this. That's his loving kindness inviting you, drawing you into relationship with him. Don't ignore it. If you're finding yourself in any of those places, let me encourage you. It's time to say yes to Jesus. It's time to surrender your life to him. When you recognize that the resurrection, this reality that impacts your eternity, but also even your life today, that you may be changed forevermore, but also today you recognize he's paid the penalty of my sin. He's the substitute. He's the spotless lamb. He's the one in which I can have life. I can't do it on my own. I must receive him to have it. If you feel that, you can pray a prayer like this, to actually surrender your life and give it to him. So if you feel that right now, I just want you to bow your head with me, and I'll read the prayer. You recite it in your own mind, in your own way, and receive him this morning. You can say this: Jesus, I am a sinner in need of saving. I repent of my sin and believe you died and rose again to offer me new life in you. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed a prayer like that, there's no magic formula, there's no special, it's between you and God. You prayed a prayer of surrender. You have been saved by his grace. You have been made new in him. That your eternity to come has been impacted, but your life today will be changed. You'll walk out different from Easter 2024. It's gone maybe from your mind to your heart to reality. You believed and confessed, repented, and walked in to a relationship with Jesus this morning. And I'm so excited. If you made that decision, I'd love to meet you right out in the front and talk to you more about this faith in which you've surrendered your life to and what it looks like to live for him. Maybe some of you in the room, you've surrendered your life to Jesus. You've been following him for a long time, but there's this misunderstanding to this reality. You feel as if, you know, there's the eternity to come. I'm ready for that. I'm expectant. But you're missing the understanding of he's the life in which you need to walk by today. That there's an area in which you've fallen to disobedience, you're wrestling with, and you've come to the realization he paid the fullness of the, it's paid in full. I need to repent and just give it to him. I need to become obedient in him. And so today for you, you need to believe and trust in God's word and walk in a step of obedience, letting go of the disobedience which you're holding on to for whatever reason is paid for in him. But some of you in the room, today is a day where you evaluate your life and you've been following Jesus for a while and you're thriving. You're in step of obedience, and today your response is just as great. You get to look to the cross and say, the life that I live today is only because of the Jesus that bore the cross. So his life given to me, he would go to the grave and rise again. That I celebrate this Easter and remember he paid it all. So I may have new life for eternity to come. I'm excited for, but the life I'm presently living today. You've been faithful and you rejoice in this reality that he's alive and he's in you. The resurrection of Jesus is not just a reality that impacts our eternity to come, but a reality that impacts your life today. May we rejoice and celebrate Jesus Christ, our risen Savior who died and rose again that we may have new life in him, that we may walk in life with him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray for every situation that you know, God. I don't know, but God, you do. I pray for the person in the room that prayed that prayer of surrender and repented and believed in you, Jesus, and that today they're leaving changed. I pray that they would be bold enough and have the courage to share that with someone before they leave. God, I pray for the person in the room who's been following you for a long time, and wherever they're at in their journey with you, they're finding places in which they're not giving to obedience in you. But you paid for that sin. You're here to set us free. So God, would you help us let it go and trust you, be obedient to you. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters who are also here, who are thriving in relationship with you. How wonderful a day for each of the three potential people to look at the cross and celebrate you, Jesus. God, we thank you that you are alive. We thank you that you are with us and here to give us new life, not only for eternity to come, but even today. Lord, be with us as we close our time in song and celebration. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.